You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper.
I graduated in December. This was kind of planning on this being my last season. Just really excited to have one more with my brothers, with my teammates, my coaches that I've grown so close to over the past 3 years.
Well, that was then, and this is now. Happy to have you with us for College Football Live with Joey Galloway and Greg McElroy. I'm Wendy Nix, and we do start with some interesting comments this afternoon from Clemson quarterback and Heisman frontrunner Trevor Lawrence. Certainly, he is expected to be the number one overall pick in this year's draft. He's got his top-ranked Tigers among the favorites to win another national championship, but the question is, could he be back?
We'll just have to see how things unfold. I think there's a lot of factors in that. But honestly, just really playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year, whether, you know, I leave or stay or whatever. Obviously, I have the option to do either one. Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on. But who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. So just really focusing on this year, not trying to look ahead, not trying to worry about that. Obviously, I can't control it. And really just trusting that God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, or that's close to home, or I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out.
Well, look, this is far from a decision here, but it is a slight departure from his previous stance where he said it expected to be his last year at Clemson. Now I think it's fair to say, Greg, that he's left the door a bit open in terms of a return to Death Valley.
And it's exciting for us as college football fans, is it not? I mean, could it be better to think that Trevor Lawrence could potentially be back in 2021? Now, let's be real. There's no way he comes back, right? Especially if he wins another national championship. He wins the Heisman Trophy, perhaps. I mean, what else could you possibly want to accomplish at the college level? So I find it highly unlikely. But maybe this is kind of showing his card, saying, well, if the New York Jets were to possess the number one overall pick, that might not be the best place for me to go, given their history of butchering guys' careers. So I look at it, and this might have been one of those scenarios, not all that dissimilar to an Eli Manning, where he says, look, I actually have some say in what my future might look like. So returning to Clemson, chasing another championship, it's not the worst case scenario, obviously, for Trevor Lawrence, regardless of what he chooses.
Greg, there is no way he's coming back to Clemson. Now, even if he decided, look, the Jets have the first pick, I don't want to go play in New York, I would guess that he would then sit out as opposed to playing again and risking getting hurt. He's an athletic quarterback that likes to run the football, sometimes take some hits that he doesn't really have to take. So we see year after year players do this same thing. At this time last year, I believe Chase Young was a guy that was like, hey, you know what, I might come back. And then the fans jump on board and they're like, hey, we got a shot of him actually coming. It's not going to happen. Trevor Lawrence will not return to Clemson next season, no matter who has the first pick.
Yeah, I look at it, Joey, and even if there's a 1% chance, there still is a chance. So he's not necessarily misleading us. But it's like the one in a million possibility where maybe he really is just ultimately fulfilled by his college experience. Maybe he's really interested in pursuing a degree or maybe even beyond a degree. So I agree with you. Do I think it's likely? Absolutely not. Especially if he accomplishes all the things and checks all the boxes that he's hoping to check here over the next couple months. But ultimately, it is actually a possibility. Just knowing how much he loves Clemson, South Carolina, how much he loves being a part of that program. ETN came back, so why wouldn't Trevor? It's actually a possibility, but I would agree with you. It might be 1% chance at the very most.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you say there's a possibility that, I don't know, the sky may fall There's a possibility that the NFL doesn't have a draft. Those are the only possibilities, Greg. It is not like, and so you're right. When he says, hey, there's a chance, then you're right. He's not misleading people that he might come back. You're correct in saying that. But quite honestly, whatever those things are that it might take to bring him back, I would actually like to see them, because I can't imagine, like you mentioned, he's accomplished so much. And you mentioned ETN coming back. I wonder if ETN was the overall number one pick, consensus number one pick, whether he would have made that same decision. So I don't see it happening, but you're right. There is a 1% chance, if you want to give it that.
So you're saying there's a chance. All right, still so much more to get to here on College Football Live. What's going on in Madison, Wisconsin? What's the latest? Our very own Adam Rittenberg will join the show to give us the most recent update on what's going on with Wisconsin as it relates to COVID-19. Still so much to get to here on College Football Live as we roll along here on a Tuesday.
Welcome back to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
A scary good matchup on Halloween night.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
As the Buckeyes creep into Happy Valley under a full moon, get ready for chills on Saturday Night Football.
We continue with College Football Live to Alabama, where projected first-round wide receiver Jaylen Waddle is out for the season after breaking his right ankle Saturday against Mississippi State. Waddle led the Tide in receiving yards and is one of the nation's top punt returners. On Sunday, he posted a photo the back of an ambulance after a season-ending injury on Saturday night. He captioned the photo, "Family 41 Rideouts." Saban's squad still has Devontae Smith and John Metchie III, but replacing Waddle certainly won't be easy.
I think you said it. You know, you can't replace a guy like Jaylen Waddle in terms of what his ability is, and it's no different than, you know, losing Allen Iverson if you're, you know, guy scores 30, 40 points a game. The surgery was very, very successful. The long-term prognosis for his surgery is very good. Derrick Henry had this surgery here. Kenyon Drake had this surgery here. You know, it's a difficult timetable to know when a guy can come back from something like this. But that's something that's going to be ongoing.
Well, let's whip around now to some of our other top stories of the day. And Greg, we'll start with you, and we'll talk about Waddle and also what this means for Alabama in the short term.
Well, ultimately for Alabama, I'm not sure it's going to have a massive impact on their offense. They have so many quality pieces. They have so many amazing parts of that wide receiver room. I think Slade Bolden will step right up and do the best he possibly can to replace the productivity. They will obviously miss Jaylen Waddle, but it might be kind of a collection of different guys that have to step up to help replace that productivity. The thing that I'm most focused on, though, is Jaylen Waddle's recovery. I just want him to be at 100%. If he does decide to enter the draft, I hope he can put his best foot forward, and I'm very optimistic based on what I've heard about the surgery that he'll be able to do that.
Joey, let's talk about Lane Kiffin for just a minute and that $25,000 fine. This despite, though, that the SEC did acknowledge the error.
I understand the fine, but then once you acknowledge the error, they should give him the money back. So if you actually made a mistake, which clearly they made a mistake, then the coach shouldn't be fined for pointing out that mistake. I understand what they're trying to accomplish, but it's just wrong in this situation.
Well, Greg, another injury news. Penn State has now lost running back Noah Cain in addition to projected starter Journey Brown, already at 0-1 at Ohio State on Saturday. Doesn't get any easier. How concerning is this for the Nittany Lions?
It's a significant blow, Wendy, and we're already talking about a team that didn't exactly showcase or flex a lot of muscle last week. Now, Indiana's a good football team, don't get me wrong, but you looked and watched everything that they were doing both offensively and defensively. This Penn State team looked out of sorts. I mean, they didn't look really all that coordinated both offensively. They gave up some plays on defense, especially at most timely opportunities at the end of game situations. So they got some problems right there in Happy Valley.
Well, they have some problems, and this certainly did not help. Some questionable calls as well as some time management issues, clock management, I should say, from Penn State. The upset to Indiana. Here's James Franklin on the loss.
From what I was told, it could have went either way, but if it's something that could have went either way, then it's inconclusive and the play calls, the stand calls.
In my mind, I scored. You know, I knew it was a touchdown as soon as I did it. You know, that's why, you know, I told the team, I was like, hey, when they were reviewing, I was like, man, it's a touchdown. I kept saying it's a touchdown.
The interesting thing on this play is that the player was in possession of the football. The rule says if the ball is loose and it touches out of bounds, the ball becomes dead. But this was in a player possession. The player wasn't down yet. So the ball touching the ground does not kill it by rule. Now it extends, he hits the pylon, we have a touchdown. So it's a controversial call. I've never seen it in my career happen that way, but it's technically correct that the ball in player possession touching out of bounds is not a dead ball.
Well, we do have a controversial call. We also have the upset and the loss, of course, for Penn State, which can change a season. Joey, any issues, or what are your issues, I should say, with the way this one closed out?
I don't have a problem with the call. I mean, it's a call that's made on the field that when they go back and they can't conclusively say that it was wrong, then they stick with the call. But if you're a Penn State player, coach, fan, you really look at that game and say there are so many things that happened in that game, whether it's the 10 penalties, the 3 turnovers, the missed field goals. They had their chances. Penn State had 100 more yards than Indiana in this game. So, you know, as players, we don't necessarily look at one play deciding a game, more so looking at how many plays we could have made before that to make that play not even matter.
Yeah, and I completely agree with Joey on that. If you look at it, Penn State had every opportunity to put the game on ice. Instead, they opted to score, which gave the ball back to Indiana. They were able to go down, lead a drive, and obviously find a way to get a 2-point conversion, then win in overtime. So Penn State had several opportunities to put this game on ice, and they only have themselves to blame. If you're going to leave it up to the officials at the end of the game, then you have to look in the mirror. And honestly, I think the officials made the right call. If he's reaching and there's indisputable video evidence beyond all doubt to overturn, then by all means, then you overturn it. Call is no good. Penn State wins the game. But there wasn't that. It was indecisive at that point. And therefore, I thought the officials from the replay booth did get it right. And it was obviously ruled correctly on the field. So it's unfortunate for Penn State, but it's not going to get any easier. If they dwell too much on that one, they better wake up quickly because Ohio State's coming on Saturday.
Well, you're absolutely right. The weeks come quick. And we knew that, and we knew with the Big Ten returning and trying to play 8 games in 8 weeks, it would be a considerable challenge. Already we've seen some issues, and here's why. ESPN has confirmed that Wisconsin quarterback Graham Mertz has tested positive for COVID-19. He will be out for a minimum of 21 days. The backup and the backup have also tested positive, putting this weekend in question. Here's head coach Paul Christ on Monday.
For us to play, if that is something that's in the best interest of everyone involved, then completely support it, because we're getting the opportunity also to play, right? And you don't want anyone to miss a game, right? But at the same time, more so, you don't want anything to happen that maybe you look back and say, might have been able to do something about it.
All right, so here is a look at the Wisconsin quarterback depth chart. As I mentioned, Graham Mertz, the starter. In fact, he had a record-setting week 1. He tested positive, so did Chase Wolf. And again, we may be looking at Danny Vandenboom, the likely starter for Saturday. And this is what happens, of course, when the virus rips through a position room. We're joined now by college football senior writer Adam Rittenberg. And I'll just ask you quite simply where we are right now this afternoon with the Wisconsin quarterback situation, Adam.
Well, Wendy, as we reported today, that Graham Mertz is in that 21 days. He's been out. His test has been confirmed. Chase Wolf, we don't know for sure that his initial positive test has been confirmed. But I would expect if Wisconsin does play this weekend at Nebraska to see that fourth string quarterback, Danny Vandenboom, who only played one game back in the 2018 season. So that's the likelihood at this point. You know, there is a report out of Madison that the game is right now in question. I just texted with Nebraska Athletic Director Bill Moose, who said that they are still preparing to play the game, but Wisconsin would be the one to watch here as obviously the COVID issues have sprouted with their quarterback room.
Well, Adam, look, it's Tuesday, as you mentioned. I mean, we've all learned that anything can change as the week progresses. Any idea when they try to make some sort of decision? Because clearly they want to try to play this game if it's possible and safe.
Right. Well, the key, the Big Ten put out its protocols, Wendy, as far as, team positivity rate. So if that goes above 5% as far as positive tests coming back, then the game has to be called off and declared a no contest. We had not heard about widespread issues of COVID at Wisconsin, just these two quarterbacks, one of which has been confirmed now in Graham Mertz. So that decision certainly could be coming as far as the team positivity threshold. But I was told also today that Big Ten coaches and athletic directors agreed before starting the season that even if the quarterback room was essentially wiped out, that none of those guys were available, that coaches would adjust and they'd still try to have a game played. So the question is, are there other positive tests that we don't know about at Wisconsin, or are they just at a point where they're close to saying that we can't go forward with this game?
Adam, thank you. And you can understand why they do want to play if they can, because there are no open dates. Trying to play 8 games in 8 weeks, Joey. And again, the Big Ten with stricter protocols. They have to sit out 21 days, and we play 1 week, and here you go. We have issues.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a little bit of a different season, especially with the Big Ten starting so late that this could be an issue. We'll see how it plays out. You wish the best for these players that have it. Hopefully things work out for them. And as far as football is concerned, it is just hanging in the balance. And we knew what we were getting when this season started. This is just the first taste of it in the Big Ten. And hopefully this doesn't take down an entire game. And they can contain this. But, I mean, if you're Illinois, what are you thinking? You just got done playing Wisconsin. Clearly you're thinking, okay, did we get infected at all?
Yeah, I think Illinois can, but with the daily PCR testing and all that stuff that they're putting into it, I would think that wouldn't necessarily be something they'd be overwhelmingly concerned about. What I get worried about is the 5% threshold in order to shut everything down. We already seen in other places, the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC, implement a strategy where if you have 53 players that are capable of playing, the game can go on. And if you have one quarterback, 7 offensive linemen, if you can check those boxes based on the position, then you are able to play the game. So I think that we're looking at a Big Ten situation that has been remarkably conservative, and I applaud them. It's all about health and safety of the players. Like, I get it. I'm not trying to argue that fact. But it might be a little bit too strict, and it might be something they need to reevaluate, especially in light of multiple negative tests, say, 10 days from now, and not the 21-day protocol that they're currently requiring.
Well, look, this is what we knew would be the case when they canceled the season August 11th and then ultimately decided to play. The protocols are what they are, at least for right now, as we take a look at this week's college football rankings brought to you by PlayStation 5. The top 5 teams in the AP poll all in action this Saturday. The one facing the biggest test, that's Ohio State. They travel to Happy Valley to take on number 18 Penn State, who, of course, came up short last weekend against Indiana. Up next, after the top 4 teams in the poll, we ask this often, which of the highest-ranked unbeatens have the best chance of making the college football playoff? We'll debate the dark horses coming up.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
This week's ultimate performance presented by BMW, Liberty redshirt junior quarterback Malik Willis, who completed 24 of 31 passes for 345 yards and 6 touchdowns while rushing for 97 yards and a score in Saturday's 56-35 win over Southern Miss. The Auburn transfer has the Flames off to a 6-0 start. Tuesdays on ESPN, the College Football Playoff Top 25 show will preview the season ahead and how it could impact the rankings. They will first be revealed on Tuesday, November 24th. Reese Davis hosts the show that will debut tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And that brings us to the Capital One fan vote. These are the highest-ranked unbeatens outside the top four. Which has the best shot to make the College Football Playoff? Make sure you go to twitter.com/sportscenter to check out this week's Capital One fan vote. But we'll ask which of the highest-ranking unbeatens, gentlemen, could still have a shot in the College Football Playoff. If you had to pick your poison right now, Joey, who would it be?
I think if you just look at their path moving forward, I think that's what matters in this situation. It would have to be Oklahoma State. They have a win against a ranked Iowa State. They have Kansas State and Oklahoma on their schedule who are also ranked. They also have to play Texas. You look at the other teams, like Notre Dame has to go through Clemson. Wisconsin's going to have to deal with Ohio State. So if you look at it, Oklahoma State's the favorite to win the Big 12 because they're still undefeated, and their defense is playing very well. So I would think that their path gives them the best chance to get in.
Joey, we actually agree for once. This is amazing. I'm actually taking Oklahoma State as well. Now, part of me, after Graham Mertz's performance last Friday, was thinking, oh, don't sleep on Wisconsin. But given the uncertainty of Graham Mertz moving forward and whether or not they're going to get all their games played and COVID and all this stuff, I'm going with Oklahoma State. I think they have a nice path, especially playing the defense they're playing right now in the Big 12.
All right, and that game against Nebraska, of course, in question due to COVID-19. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Indiana head coach Tom Allen joins College Football Live tomorrow. We'll see you then. Have a great day, everybody.